Please turn with me this evening to John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus speaks to the Jews, and the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, his disciples and the common people, and he tells them a rather mysterious story. He says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And when he's finished telling this parable, we read in verse 6 that they didn't understand what he meant. And perhaps when we read a few minutes ago this chapter, you said to yourself, "Well, I don't understand what he means either." Well, I am not going to preach a complicated sermon this evening. I'm not going to go into great detail about exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ meant here. I'm going to just take one simple phrase, and I'm going to explain that, and I'm going to apply that, and I'm going to tell you why it's important in your life. But the Lord Jesus is talking about sheep and shepherds and sheepfolds and gates and doors. And so it might be helpful just to describe what would have been very obvious to the people of Jesus' time. There were many shepherds and flocks of sheep in that day and age, and there were also some wild animals in the countryside, and there were also people who would steal sheep. And you could imagine, couldn't you, that if you were out on a hillside at night with 100 sheep, and it was just you and one or two other companions, well, it wouldn't be very hard for somebody to come along in the dark and take one of those sheep away, or two of them, or three of them, or if they were strong and armed, maybe all of them. And in the evening time, often the sheep would be taken to a safe place so that they couldn't be stolen. During the day they would go out and find grass to eat and water to drink, but at night they'd come back into this sheep fold. And let me describe that to you. Well, it's probably just going to be a low wall, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 feet high, no roof on top, just a wall. And that wall will enclose a square or rectangular area perhaps, and there'll be a simple gap in that wall, wide enough for the sheep to go in, but only one entry and only one exit. And this is the sheepfold that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Now, the verse that I want to speak about is verse 9. And in verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the door." Now, you might say that's a very strange thing. People talk about themselves being all kind of things. "I'm an extrovert," they say. "I'm a comedian. I'm an intellect. I'm a quiet person." All kinds of things they might describe themselves as. But a door. Why would anyone call themselves a door? To our ears, that sounds very strange. But I think to the ears of the people that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about, it wouldn't have seemed quite so strange, and let me tell you why. When those sheep went into the sheepfold in the evening, one of the things that the shepherd might do in order to keep his sheep safe, to make sure that they weren't stolen, that they didn't wander off, is that he himself would sleep in that gap where the wall didn't quite meet. And so nobody could go into that sheepfold without clambering over the shepherd. And the sheep could not come out of that sheepfold without treading on their shepherd. And he would obviously wake up. So in that sense, perhaps, it's easier for these Jews to think of a person being a door. So we're going to consider this idea this evening, and it won't take very long, and I'm sure I will try to be very simple, and perhaps there will be things that we can learn. Picture of a man being a door or a gate. But what does a door do? A door, well, it keeps things out, and it keeps things in, doesn't it? It is the barrier between outside of something and inside of something. That's what the shepherd would do. He would stop the intruders from coming in, and he'd stop the sheep from going out. He would be a barrier. And so when we think of a door, we think of an inside and we think of an outside. Perhaps it will be easier for us to think of our own front doors. The door that we have on our home. Now, because we all live in London, we probably have quite sturdy doors with one or maybe two or even three locks on them. We like doors that are secure, don't we? We like doors that only we can get into because we have the key. When I was younger and we used to live in Scotland, people didn't worry about that sort of thing. They would leave their door open. I used to be a milk boy when I was about 15, and I would go to collect the money from people who had had milk from the milkman on a Friday night, and sometimes the doors would just be wide open. If it was a nice sunny day, not only would they not lock it, they'd leave it wide open. But we don't live like that here in London, do we? Especially if we live in one of the less pleasant streets, we would be worried about that. We would say if we left our door open, people would come in. And our goods would march out, wouldn't they? Because people would come and take them. And so we might think of our own door. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says that he is a door, he is telling us that there is an inside and there is an outside. What is your home for? What is the inside of your home for? Well, that is where your family are. And your friends, if they live with you, or maybe your lodgers. But they're the people that you know, the people that you're close to, the people that you live with. If they are inside the house, well, they are your close ones, your family. And the people that you don't know, well, they stay outside of your house. I was speaking to somebody the other day. He said he had a terrible experience. He went home one day. He was living alone. He went home, he opened the front door, he went inside, and he found four men sitting in his living room. And it was a terrible experience. They had somehow managed to get into his house. Well, we don't want that, do we? We want a door which keeps out the people that we don't want inside, but lets in our family and the people that live in our home. That's clear and obvious. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a door, operates in exactly the same way. He keeps out his enemies. He keeps out those who hate him. He keeps out those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps out those who have not been forgiven. But he lets in, and inside are those who have been forgiven. Those who have been adopted into the family of God. Those who are accepted by the Father. You can't go in without his permission. You can't go in unless he lets you. And so he divides. So there is an in and there is an out. There is God's people inside who have gone through the door, God's family, those who are beloved of God, and outside, God's enemies who have not gone through the door. Now they can. We will see later on they can go through the door, but they have not yet gone through. Now when we get home on a winter's evening, and we've been out all day long, and we get off the bus, and we walk up to our flats, and it's raining, and we go up to our front door, and it's cold, and it's windy. Well, we want to go through that door, don't we? Why do we want to go through that door? Well, because on the other side of that door, there is warmth, there is comfort, there is a nice sofa to sit down on, we can kick off our shoes, it'll be dry in there, and there'll be food, and there'll be nourishment, and there'll be warmth, and these are the things that we want. We want to go through our front door because it's so much nicer in there than it is outside. Outside, that's where everybody else is. You can't sit on a wet pavement, you're not comfortable sloshing through the puddles, and the wind is blowing, and it's cold. Your fridge isn't out there. Your cooker and your microwave are not out here. Your TV's not out here. Your fire and your radiator's not out here. No, you want to go through that door into the warmth and into the comfort. And it says in this verse, actually, after the bit that we've just read, that they find pasture, his people. Well, that's what we want. We want to go through the door that is Christ Jesus. And there we will find comfort for our souls. There we will find the nourishment that we need. There we will find the green pastures that will nourish up our souls. But they are on the other side of the door. You see, a door speaks to us of the difference between comfort and discomfort. When my children get out of the car and we've gone home, what do? They rush straight for the door. They want to go inside. They want to be where their things are, where they feel most comfortable. They don't want to be outside, where they are subject to the weather and people, horrible neighbours who might say nasty things to them. They want to be away from all of that. They want to go inside. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. Have you gone through that door yet? Are you in his family, his kingdom, or are you still outside? You know, when we come in on a dark evening, what's the first thing we do? Turn the light on. We don't want to stumble around in the dark. We want to turn that light on. And so we do. And then we can see what we're doing. Well, outside it was dark. And the street lamps perhaps weren't shedding much light. We couldn't find our key in our purse or wherever it was. We wanted to go in and be in the light so we could see what we were doing. We could look in the mirror and see how the weather had damaged us. But, you know, when you go through the door, Christ Jesus, then you come into the glorious light. In the Bible, light means a couple of different things, but one of the things it means is understanding, knowledge and wisdom. Those who have gone through the door, Christ Jesus, they are the ones who understand the meaning of life, the ones who have spiritual light, the ones who know what their future is and why they are here. They are the ones no longer stumbling around in the dark, asking deep philosophical questions with no answers. Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Is there a purpose for life? Where did the universe come from? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Is there a God? Oh, the people outside the door are in darkness. They don't understand. They're baffled by life. They have so many ideas. The philosophers talk to them and they say, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And people sound very certain and convinced. Richard Dawkins tells them there is no God. Others tell them that the world came about by chance. People say that 14 billion years ago there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, all of this nothing that didn't exist exploded. And then there was everything. Isn't that wonderful? What nonsense. They live in the darkness, you see. But those who have gone through the door live in light. So the door is a picture which reminds us that there is an in and that there is an out. And we want to be in. We want to be inside. We want to go through that door. That is where the blessing is. And the comfort and the light and the knowledge. That is where the family of God is. Outside is cold and dark and miserable. It says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we know what the word saved means, don't we? In its simplest terms, it means that there is a danger. It means that we are in peril. We are perhaps about to lose our lives or be badly injured. Or in this case, lose our whole eternity to eternal damnation. But we want to be saved. That is, to be rescued. Well, if there was a man and he was sailing around the English Channel in his yacht, and the yacht hit something and a big hole came in the hull, and it started to leak, and his boat capsized, and he put his life jacket on and he scrambled in on the top of his upturned boat, he would need to be saved. He would need the lifeboat to come out. Perhaps he'd have time to put up a distress flare or to send out a mayday on his radio. Or if not, perhaps somebody would spot him, and then that orange and blue boat would charge out from the lifeboat station, and they would go and they would save him and they would rescue him. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you want to be saved from the most desperate peril, the greatest danger a soul can experience, you need the door. You need to come to the door. You need to go through the door. He says, salvation is inside. Forgiveness of sins, protection on that day of judgment, eternal life in heaven, that is through the door. And there is none of it outside the door. But through the door, everyone is safe. Everyone is saved. So the door is a picture of safety and of danger. Outside the door is death. Inside the door is safety. Have you ever seen those mad people who get into cages, and the cages are dangled down into shark-infested waters? And they have their scuba diving equipment on, and they have their cameras. There's two or three of them in this cage, and the great white sharks, they swim around, and they come up to the cages, and they put their noses through the bars, but they can't get their teeth in there. As long as the divers stay inside the cages, they are safe. There is safety in there. If they were to go out, well, they'd have their limbs bitten off in a moment. There there is great danger. Well, it's the same with this, as it were, sheepfold. If we've gone through the door, Christ Jesus, we are saved. We are safe. If we are outside, we are, well, it's only a matter of time until we fall down into the pit of hell, into the lake of fire, to suffer eternal, unending torture and torment as a punishment for the sins that we have committed. We must go through that door. Perhaps you have spent some time living in a part of town where frightening people hang around, and you come back late at night, gang members perhaps, people who are dealing in drugs, or people who just look a bit shifty, and you wonder whether they're looking to mug somebody who's vulnerable, who looks like they might be carrying some money on them. And you know that that door of yours is the place of safety. Well, you've got off the bus, or you've parked your car, and you're going down the alleyway, or down the unlit street, and up the stairwell into the flats where you live. You're worried, you're concerned, and you hurry, and you look behind you. You don't hang around. You know it could be dangerous. Perhaps you have to walk across the common, and the common is not lit properly late at night, and you wonder about who's hanging around there in the bushes. Well, you don't hang around. You're in a hurry. You're on your own. You feel vulnerable. You run, or you walk quickly. And then you get to your door. As you see your door, you think, yes, safety is there. I'm going to be safe when I go through that door. But I'm not there yet. And you get your key out so that as soon as you get there, you can open it up. And you open up that door, and you go through that door, and you close that door behind you, and you go, safe. I'm safe here. I'm safe inside my home, behind my door. Well, that's the way you should be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door that you must run to. He is the door that you must knock on, and He will open that door for you, and you must go through that door as soon as you can. You're not safe until you've been through that door. But when you go through, then you are safe forever. Through that door is God's protection. You go through that door, you're adopted into the family of God. He will take care of you. He will not allow anything to befall you which is not for your eternal benefit and good. He will keep you to the end. Even if your body is broken, even if the enemies of God take you and burn you at the stake, yet your soul is safe. He will take you to heaven. There will be no more fear, no more pain, and He will give you a new body. Perfect, everlasting, sinless body that never grows old or feels tired. There's nothing to worry about. But outside, outside is God's judgment. Outside are the enemies of God. Outside there is no one who has trusted in Him and had their sins forgiven. Oh, I hope you can see this door makes all the difference. This door is so important. It is the most important thing. It is a picture of salvation, of course. And the question is this. Have you found that door? Have you knocked on that door? Has that door been opened to you? Have you gone through that door and found salvation? You see, Jesus Christ is the door. And He is the only way in. The only way into heaven. The only way into God's kingdom. Into God's family. He is the only way of salvation. You know, people will have told you. If you've kept your ears open, you've lived for a few years, people will tell you, oh, there are many religions, and they all lead to the same God. Some call Him Allah. Some call Him Jesus Christ. Some say you must behave in this way and others in this way. But you know, they all take you to the same place. They're like different paths up to the same summit of the mountain. That is a demonic lie. There are many religions, and every single one of them ends in a dead end and in hell. Except the true religion of Jesus Christ. Don't think that following Roman Catholicism or Jehovah's Witness or Islam or Judaism or any of these other religions will take you to this place. There is only one door. It's not the Pope. It's not Muhammad. It is Jesus Christ. Only one door. But why? Do you think that you can find your own door? The Lord says, all they that climb over by another means are thieves and robbers, but you can't climb into heaven. You can't break in the back door. You can't go in through the windows. It's so foolish to think so. People say, well, I'm not really into religion, but I think I'll be okay in the end. I believe there's another life, or if there is another life, I'll be okay because I'm a good person. Does this verse say that there are two doors? One is called Jesus Christ, and one is called being a good person? No. You cannot get into heaven by being a good person. And this is so hard for us to accept, because we've been told time and time again, Christianity, it's all about being a good person. Yeah, sure, you might have told some lies, but the Lord will let you off. Yeah, sure, you might have you might not have been a very moral person in years gone by, but you've grown, you've got better. And now surely you're good enough. You compare yourself to your neighbour and you say, well, he's a terrible person. He's done time and he's a drug dealer and he beats his wife and he's horrible to his children and he never gives any money to charity. He's not going in, but I'm better than him. Hear me. Hear the words of the Bible. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get into heaven by being a good person. You're not a good person. None of us are. You judge yourself by your own standards. You think you're better than your neighbour, but God judges you by His standards. How do you compare to Jesus Christ? Are you as good as Him? No, you're not. He never lied. He was never hateful. He never coveted. He never put anything before God. He was perfect in all that He did, and we cannot hold a candle to Him in any way. You cannot go through other religions. You cannot be a good person and get yourself into heaven. Others, they have such a vague idea about this. You can't believe that people don't prepare themselves for the most important day of their lives, that day of judgment. But some people say, oh, I'll be okay in the end. I'll get before God the Father, and He'll look at me and He'll say, oh, well, I tell you what, I'll bend the rules, I'll make an exception. I don't really want to send you down to hell, and you've been okay, I suppose. I'll let you off. Well, that might be how we act as parents, or how our parents acted to us. We didn't always enforce the law as we should have done. Perhaps we made one or two threats that we didn't carry through with. Perhaps we said, if your bed's not clean, there'd be consequences, and then we didn't bother checking. Well, it's because we're human and fallible. But the Lord God is not like that. He is not going to say, these are my perfect standards, keep them 100% or else I will punish you. And then at the end of the day, just say, oh, well, I wasn't really serious about that. No, He is serious. He cannot lie. He cannot allow anything to fall from His law. And so, Jesus Christ really is the only way. You can't find another door. You can't find another route in. There is only one way through Jesus Christ. But why is Jesus Christ the only way? We'll think about this briefly before we close. Why is Jesus Christ the only way to salvation? Well, first of all, He has something that you need. And He is the only one who has that thing that you need. And that is perfect righteousness. He is the only man who has perfect righteousness. He kept the law. He lived for 33 years and He did perfect good without sinning at all. And you can't have heaven without righteousness. Heaven is a reward. What are we going to be rewarded for? We've got nothing to be rewarded for, but Jesus Christ has. He has righteousness. And He gives that righteousness to His people. So that we get rewarded with heaven for the righteousness that he achieved. Nobody else can give you that righteousness. Nobody else can give you something which is rewarded with heaven. But there's something else. He can do something that nobody else can do. Nobody in the whole history of humanity can do this thing that Jesus Christ can do for you. He can pay for your sins. Your sins are serious. The penalty of death is upon you. You are on death row. That punishment will be carried out upon you. But the Lord Jesus Christ can do it for you. He can suffer death on your behalf. He can be punished for your sins. Nobody else can do that. Who else is there that's going to take hell for you? We all have to take hell for ourselves, because that's what we deserve. But Jesus Christ doesn't deserve hell. He doesn't have his own sins to pay for, therefore he can pay for ours. So Jesus Christ is the only way, because he's the only one that has the righteousness that we need, and he's the only one that can pay for our sins, but also he is the Son of God, and his Father loves him and will hear him when he prays for us. If we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will pay for our sins. He will give us his righteousness. He will plead our cause before the Father in heaven, and the Father will hear him and adopt us into the family of God. Nobody else can do that for us. Only Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the door, the only door into the kingdom of heaven, and you must come. But here's a sad thing. Some people find the door, but they don't go through it. Some people know that Jesus Christ is the door. They know something of what lies on the other side of that door, and they go up to that door and they stay there, and they hang around, and they look back behind themselves and they say, "Well, I sure would like to go through that door," but they never knock and they never ask, and that door is never opened unto them. Now, why would that be? Is that not foolish? If you're rushing home and there's one of those torrential downpours that we've had over the last couple of weeks, and the raindrops are splattering onto your head, and you're soaked and drenched through after a hard day at work, and there's your door, and you know that through that door a dry set of clothes and a meal and a comfortable sofa and warmth and light, and there are your keys. Would it be sensible just to stand around outside and not go through? While you get even wetter and your fingers go numb with the cold? That would be foolishness. And yet, I think there are some here this evening who stand in front of the door, Christ Jesus, tonight, but you haven't gone through. You know he's the Saviour. You know you're a sinner that needs forgiveness. You know you need to go through that door. Well, let me encourage you. Go through the door this evening. How do you do that? Well, you pray. And you say to the Lord Jesus Christ that you know he is the door. And he is the Saviour. You know that you need to be forgiven. You know that you need to give your life over to him. You know you need to leave behind all that is outside and come into the kingdom. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Come to the door and go through the door this evening and find forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.